Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Welcome back to the Autism Mums podcast. Thank you for joining us for today's episode, which is both a bit emotional and I think quite historic.
Yeah, I mean, last Monday across England and Scotland, parents and carers came together for a peaceful protest called Every Pair Tells a Story.
Pairs of shoes were laid outside council buildings, and each pair represented a child who's been failed by the education and support systems. Whether that's been waiting for years for an assessment, missing out on a school place, or being left without help.
This movement, led by the Send Sanctuary, is about visibility and accountability. It's about families showing through the quiet power of empty shoes that our children deserve better.
Yeah. And we went along to support the protest, didn't we, Nat? Which was outside Dorset County Council at County Hall in Dorchester. And I don't know about you, but I did find it really moving. I think there were more than 70 pairs of shoes laid outside those council offices. And each pair of shoes represented a child who's been let down by the system in some way, which I don't know. It's really sad. And I think, thinking of the shoes as a symbol, they were really powerful. They represent the steps that our children should be taking into school with friendships, with independence, and yet so many can't because the system just keeps letting them down.
Yeah, I mean, it was so powerful sort of seeing them all laid out and thinking, gosh, thinking about what that represents, like 70 pairs of shoes for 70 children. I mean, yeah, it was quite...
It's shocking. And when you see it visually like that, that's the amount of children who maybe aren't in school or are traumatised by school.
And that's only in Dorset.
And that's only in Dorset. And when you buy those shoes, I don't know if you can remember when you bought your children's first shoes for school, there is quite a lot of excitement. You have so much hope. And then when your child doesn't go to school, these shoes, and you know, for a lot of us, the whole uniforms, they stay there new. And actually what they become is like that symbol of hope and excitement and the beginnings are replaced by feelings of exclusion, waiting, disappointment, sadness for your child that they can't access something that all their peers can.
Yeah, and I think it's sad for them too because they want to be able to access those things and they can't.
Yeah, it's so much more than the education. It's the missed friendships. It's the skills that they don't get to develop. It's the emotional toll on not just the children, but the families of these children.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I could sort of feel the sadness in the air. You know, it was very peaceful and it was calm and we were all coming together in unity because we all have very similar stories.
Yeah, 100%. I think particularly when families came along to add their shoes to the collection of shoes outside, it was definitely felt very sad. And it was a really peaceful day. I mean, the organisers from the Sanctuary, Amy, she made it clear that it was about the loss, the frustration and the unity that you mentioned and not anger. And yeah, you could definitely feel that.
It was a really sort of proud moment. I mean, it's nice to get together with other parents who have gone through the same thing because we all have similar stories and we're on this journey together and exchanging tips and just general support, really, standing together.
Yeah, you're definitely among people who get it. And that is encouraging in some way. I mean, it was so busy, wasn't it? We were a little bit involved in the organisation of the Dorset part of it. And it was a really busy run up to the event. There were parents and carers in our group who, oh my gosh, they put so much work into this, from running around and collecting shoes from various drop-off points, even collecting from families to make sure that all those families who couldn't attend were represented. And that's the tricky thing about these protests, isn't it? because if your child doesn't have a school place because they've been failed, you're not necessarily going to be able to come to a protest, which is why I think it's so important that, well, we could be there, so we were there just to represent them.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, my son was in school and my youngest was with granny for that time, so I could be there. But yeah, it's I think it's really important
That's right.
for
And I
us.
think we're at that place for some of our children where we've been through this process and we're lucky enough to have two of them in specialist schools. And my daughter's old enough that she was able to come with us while she's waiting for a school place.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I don't know if you got a chance to look over the shoes, but all the families added a tag to each pair of shoes with the child's name that they represented. And then some of these also had the story of each child, which was really quite poignant. Did you get to read any of them?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
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 On the way over to the protest, I stopped in at Nikki's little play cafe in Dorchester, which was one of the drop-off points. And Nikki told me the story. She gave me one of the pairs of shoes, and she said they were from a girl who'd been so let down by the system and was in a school that was so wrong for her, and they couldn't cope with her that she'd been unable to take her GCSEs.
Oh, gosh.
When you looked at the tags, there were so many heartbreaking stories on them. I mean, maybe we should add some of them. When you read the stories, it really brings home the problems that there are.
Yeah, definitely. I read a story about a 12-year-old boy called Archie who had been told there was nothing wrong with him in primary school. He was just labelled as sensitive. So in year seven, he was diagnosed with ADHD. Attending school was really challenging for him. And one day they got him in, but he was sent home because he had the wrong style of shoes. And then the doctor asked for a reduced timetable, but the school forced him to build this up to full time in 6 weeks, and they were told if he missed a day, this privilege would be taken away, and it's resulted in him refusing to go to school out of fear of being shamed.
Oh my God, these poor children.
If the schools could be a bit more flexible and a bit more understanding, that could mean that he could attend if they could be a bit more flexible with the timetable. I think they're so focused on these attendance.
Yeah, the focus is in the wrong place.
Yes.
I know one of the tags that I read just said, failed children become broken adults. And that really hit home for me because that is what we're talking about. There was another story that I read about a girl called Harper who was diagnosed with ASD and ADHD after waiting 2 years for her assessments. And her parent and carer had written the EHCP herself because she said the teacher's version was so inaccurate. And then the new teacher didn't follow it. And she said, as a result of the lack of support, her child is completely unable to access learning in the classroom.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I read another one about an 11-year-old girl called Izzy who's autistic, ADHD, OCD, and PDA. She reached burnout at 7 years old and was signed off school because of her mental health. Her parents and carers have been fighting for her right to an education for all of this time and have failed to get support.
Think what is going wrong? Why is a child of seven being left without access to education for like these most important years of her life? Another story that I came across was a 14-year-old boy called Lucas, who was diagnosed with autism and anxiety, and he was suffering from trauma through having attended mainstream school, and his family had been forced to prove how unwell he was and then had to go through the pain of watching him struggle further as he was failed by the system. And you know, this is something that we talk about. Why do our children have to get to the point where they fully break and families and everyone around them have to watch that happen before they get support? It's just not good enough.
No, it's not right. Jackson, age six, who had ASD and ARFID, found that schools couldn't meet his needs. They were more focused on keeping an attendance score, saying his lateness due to meltdowns was affecting the whole class learning. They wouldn't allow a reduced timetable or support him with an EHCP, so his parents felt he had no choice but to home educate.
And that should be a choice, home education. It shouldn't be a last resort that a parent is pushed into because if you're trying to work, I don't know his parents' situation, but perhaps they had to give up jobs. You hear this all the time, and it's just so wrong.
Yeah, it's these stories that really make it hit home. There are just so many of them, so many families whose lives are being affected.
They're not isolated cases, unfortunately, and it's happening everywhere. And Dorset was just one of the counties that was represented. There were thousands of pairs of shoes, and that's what this movement has been trying to show. It's the scale of this crisis and also the human cost behind it.
Yeah, it really does have an impact. And when you see those rows of shoes lined up, it hopefully it's impossible to ignore. I mean, there were 97 locations around the UK represented. It's a silent protest, but hopefully it speaks louder than any words could.
Yeah. I think Carmen McConnell, who coordinated our local hub, she did an amazing job of bringing everyone together. And she's doing really great work campaigning to get our children the education they deserve.
She definitely is. Parents and carers dropped in at various points throughout the day, some nipping out of work on their lunch breaks.
That was really lovely to see. I had chatted with a couple of grandparents who said that their daughter was at work but had asked them to bring the shoes. And that's how important it is to people. That's how affected they are. It was great to see some of the local groups in our area represented. There was people from AS Divas and Dudes, Fix Send Dorset, Escape, who do great work as well, and the Send Nurture Network.
It was great to have some coverage from the press as well. Radio interviews took place with BBC Dorset and Greatest Hits Radio Dorset, and Dorset Echo joined us for interviews and photographs. So that really helped to raise awareness.
It's fair to say that it's not as comfortable to give these interviews about our children. I know we've discussed before, how much do you feel comfortable sharing about your child? And then I know we both concluded that it is important to highlight these issues, because I know you were quoted in the Dorset Echo talking about your son and the struggles that he used to have at mainstream. But I do think that it's important that these issues are highlighted. Other parents are going to be able to relate to them, but also just to raise awareness that this is a really important issue. A complete overhaul of the system is really needed.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
early screenings. I'm so for early screenings.
Yes, me too. Early screenings and more training for teachers so that they have the specialist knowledge. I think all teachers should have the same knowledge as specialist teachers do.
Yeah,
I really do.
absolutely. I can't remember. It's such a minimal amount of training they get, isn't it?
Was it less than a day in the whole degree?
And that's not fair on anyone. That's not fair on them. It's not fair on their class.
No, I'm not blaming teachers at all. I just think that, with the awareness of autism so much greater, they need to have those skills to be able to support them. And if they can't, that's going to make them stressed.
Yeah, we spoke to that counsellor who came down from Sturminster Newton, didn't we? And she was really keen, she said, to listen and to understand more about what families are going through. And actually, her presence and her saying that gave me hope that we are raising awareness.
Really hope so. I think now that we're all working together, it was such a national movement that really should make a difference. We don't want special treatment, do we? We just want our children to be able to access education so that they can reach their potential and not become that tag that said broken adults.
It's not about blame here, but it is about accountability and it is about change. Every child deserves an education that meets their needs, and families shouldn't have to fight for years and years.
I've seen headlines today about how councils are going into bankruptcy or they're so in debt, and they're saying it's because of the Send Transport budget and how overspent they are with that. But they're really looking at it all wrong, because if they had the education system in place in the first place, or more specialist schools in areas so kids didn't have to travel so far, then it would resolve that issue.
That's one of the things our local MP said that he is campaigning for, another specialist school in our area, because he's quite aware of the shortcomings. There's just not enough places, and there's not enough places near to where children live. I mean, these small children are often traveling ages. I mean, I have a 2-hour journey every day to take my son to and from his specialist school. Yes, it's worth it, but great if there
Yeah,
was one up the
definitely.
road.
There's a real need here.
To every parent or carer that's listening today, whether your child's shoes were laid down on Monday or if they're sitting quietly at home, just to say your story matters.
Yep, we're with you. Even when the system makes us feel like we're invisible.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special episode. If you attended the protest, we'd love to hear your reflections. You can message us on Instagram or Facebook or email us at hello@theautismmums.com. We're also going to share a link in the show notes to the Send Sanctuary so that you can follow along and get the news from the event and find out what they're planning and how to get involved. We will continue working to get our children the education they need and they deserve. So, until next time, take care. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.